to chill my bones. It feels like I don't know you anymore. I don't understand why you're so cold to me with every breath.
So in my head, the bet was, I bet it's cold. I bet she opens with Cold as Ice. But that'll do. Cold to me will work.
Jasmine has a different view of life than we do because we're her grandparents.
Yes.
Old enough to be.
Yes. Absolutely true.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, we are.
Yep.
No, that's not true.
Great aunt and uncle.
By a couple years. Yeah, let's go with great aunt and uncle. Hi, everybody.
Hey, I'll go with that.
It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's cold. Welcome to the show. I have to say, I knew it would be cold, but when you're outside in it, you just go, how can this be? How can this be?
Did your car start all right?
Car started fine.
I don't have a garage. You don't use your garage.
Right.
And I used the electric start, and I didn't hear it start. And I'm like, oh, no, because I told you yesterday, if the car doesn't start,
you're
there's
not coming
no,
in.
No.
You mean the remote start?
Yeah. Sorry. No. What did I say?
Well, you said electric. But
oh, okay. The remote start.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. The lights went on, you know, the parking lights.
Right.
But I didn't hear it. So I went outside and it had started, but it was just so quiet.
It was
warming itself
up. Being polite.
And then I started the other car, the 2007 Corolla, which I thought, no way is this thing starting. It didn't want to start, but
why
it did.
Why did you start both cars?
Because I figure no school today. Jim works from home, so everybody's going to be home. It's not going to be used. I just kind of wanted to know if it's going
it
to work
business.
Tomorrow.
Right, okay.
So I started it, let him run for, I was going to let it run for like 5 minutes, and then it wasn't warm enough, so I let it run for about 12 minutes. And then I hear people saying, that's bad for the car.
Maybe.
Sharon read that to me last night, too, that it's bad to let it idle that way.
Yeah.
That you better. And I said it's bad for me to get in a car that hasn't opened up.
True.
And
so,
very
I was
true.
So happy. I did the remote start this morning, Wendy. I was so happy.
I know. That thing. John Hanson was on the air saying when he bought his car, he didn't want to spend the extra $1,000 or $2,000 to get that put in. And now he
it's
regrets
it. It's the best
it.
Thing you could ever buy.
Mine is so great.
It's the best thing.
Oh, and my heated steering wheel is number
Yeah,
two.
I liked that too.
And
yeah.
The seat.
Those are nice bonuses
so
to
nice
have.
This morning.
All right, a couple things. Number one, when I got in the car, on my dashboard, there's a message center.
Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And if there's something you need to know about the car, it's right there in front of you. It's the first thing you see when you get in. So it informed me that not one, not two, not three, but all four of my tires were under what they should be weight-wise.
Because of the cold.
Right. Is it PSI? Is
yes,
that how you...
pounds
okay.
per square inch.
Pounds per square inch. So it suggests that you be at 36. All of mine were either at 27 or 28. And they were fine last night because I drove last night and there was no problem at all. But now they had gone down that dramatically.
They weren't used. They weren't warm. Air.
So they just...
But didn't they go up as you drove? Mine always go up as I drive.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take a chance. So I went and I filled it.
Look at you, Mr.
Wow.
Goodrich.
I'm not like
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not like that. But here's the problem, the under the clause of no good deed goes unpunished. I was fine during it, but I had to take my gloves off for a second to unscrew those little tabs that...
plugs.
Yeah, the plugs, right?
Caps.
So
yeah,
you could say plugs or caps, yeah, whatever they are.
Or little tabs.
Little tabs.
Little tabbies.
Is that your rapper name?
Little tabs. I'm dropping an album soon, Wendy. Don't laugh. It'll crack if you drop it today. So for a second, the metal in...
Valve?
Yeah, on the valve metal, and my thumb touched, and it like
stuck?
Instantly burned. No, it didn't stick,
oh
but it just
God.
Like instantly burned, you know? And I can still feel it a little bit. It's not bad now because it's an hour and a half, 2 hours later.
Baby.
I know.
Just
I know.
Think if you had licked it.
Well, I did that too, yeah. Steve. That's private. That's not for air.
So I'm sorry.
That's not for air. But just that secondary touch was all it took to really feel it. And to your credit, Mary, yes, as you do drive more, I guess somehow the air corrects itself in the tires. I didn't
tires
know that.
Heat up.
I didn't want to take the chance.
That's why.
I had to fill
you.
It up.
I was a hair over half a tank, so I thought if I come to work, it's going to go under. So I stopped to get gas this morning.
Just to be safe.
Yep.
Just to be safe. The other thing is we don't have cold water in our house. We have really hot water, but for some reason we don't have any cold
what
water.
How?
I'm not sure how.
Did your cold water pipes freeze?
That's a problem.
But you would think if there was going to be... No, I guess if one was going to freeze, the cold would be the one, right? I guess?
Whichever one's closer to the outdoor.
Yeah.
But, you should, are you calling someone on that?
I wasn't going to. But
he filled up his tires.
I already did one good thing today, Steve. I got to pace myself.
Seriously, you have no cold water at all?
None.
So if you open the spigot, nothing comes out?
Right.
Oh, that's...
Well, here's our like...
You don't have two spigots.
Our sinks, right.
You'd turn it one way for one way.
Well, no, there's some... Actually, on the sinks, there's a hot one and a cold one, but I'm not getting anything out of the cold one.
That means it's
frozen. Actually, I'm still getting hot. I'm still getting hot out of that one.
You're getting hot out of the cold water spigot.
Yeah, really, like really hot.
Okay,
boiling hot.
I think that
your cold water pipes have frozen.
Oh, the shower was really interesting because you had to like run into the water for a second and then run back out. Remember at the beginning of the monkeys, the way they would run, they were at the beach and they'd run in the water and the water temperature wasn't good, so they'd run out. That's what I was doing with Peter Tork and Mickey Dolenz this morning, is in the shower for just a half a second and then run out.
That's where you don't take a shower. I'm sorry.
It was too hot.
So you had to fill up your... tires were there.
Yes.
You had a lousy shower and your pipes are frozen. You're remarkably positive this
morning. Well, thank you, Steve. That's kind of you to notice that. Yes. Yes.
I'm trying to think of problems we had. Our heat is not keeping up. We have a house that was built in the 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old Victorian. The duct work is not great. The furnace is.
Mm-hmm.
So it was set at 72 and hold. And when I left this morning, it was at 64. Wow. So I was really happy to come to work.
Yeah.
It's just not keeping up.
No, I know. It's impossible, right? All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. If you have any stories you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. We're easy to reach. We're 312-981-7200, and we'll get to that next.
Remember Andrea Martin doing that?
Yes. Yes, I do. There it is. There's your Foreigner. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's really cold, and we're talking about what has happened so far today. It's miserably cold.
And you have, yesterday I was talking about my nozzles being frozen, which they were. Just use rubbing alcohol, people, and your nozzles will unfreeze. But Bill, you have some possible plumbing issues.
We have
no cold
water at our house. The hot water is coming in loud and clear. Very, very hot water, but no cold water to be found.
Tom, you do some plumbing. You're a plumber?
Yes, I am.
Is this bad news?
Yes. Usually the hot water freezes first.
Yeah. In my head, that's how I thought it would be, but I can't explain why, but I just assume that. So what's going on? How do I get cold water back?
Is this everywhere in the house?
I think so. It was in the bathroom, in the shower. I didn't check downstairs, but...
Is your basement finished off, or is our pipes exposed?
There are pipes exposed.
Okay, that's the good news.
Okay.
You need to go using your hand to go along the pipes and find the coldest spot.
All right.
And if you've got a hair dryer from your wife there, you can use that to kind of thaw things out.
So just put the hair dryer on wherever the coldest spot on the pipe is.
Yes.
Okay.
If not, is this going to burst?
It could.
Uh-oh. Now, I'm not going to be home
for... Depending on what type of pipe it is.
I'm not going to be home for several hours unless you tell me, Tom, I should leave now.
You might want to go home.
Call Terry. Isn't she home?
Yeah.
Somebody's home.
Yeah, she could do it,
I guess. She'd handle it better than
I'm
sorry.
Far better than me. All right, so she wants to put the hairdryer on the coldest spot for how long, would you say?
Yep. Leave one of the faucets open someplace, and if the water starts to flow, you can take the heat off.
Okay.
I have a question, Tom.
Go from there.
If he has cold water in the lower extremities of the house, does he still have to do this? Because I feel like going up to the top floor, perhaps it's just...
Oh, maybe. It clogs as it goes higher.
Yeah, so does he still have to do this?
It's possible. It's possible it could be in the wall, too, in which case then you got a real problem.
Oh, no. All right.
Yeah.
Did you leave your faucets trickling?
We did, at night.
Because I did, too,
for the
first time ever.
Yeah.
Just the outdoor exposed
ones. You didn't leave them on... They weren't turned on enough.
Oh, really? Because everybody always said just a little trickle of water, but I should have done more than that, huh?
I usually tell people the pencil stream.
Oh, all right.
For the whole night. I mean, I guess who cares? Our water bill's pretty high, but...
Yeah. And even today, even though the sun is out, even today...
Keep it going that way.
Yeah, and what happens is wind... is the biggest enemy, because it'll find the smallest hole and that'll act like a vortex in there and it'll freeze water a pipe instantly.
And I want to do that on every anywhere there's a water source, like in the sink, in the kitchen, and
right.
upstairs bathrooms and stuff.
Right. Uh huh.
All right. Okay.
It
I
might
can
be
do that.
Just at a main area where everything branches off. That might be the problem right there.
Could be. All right. I will look in. I will have my wife look into that while I'm here at work. Tom, thank you. I really appreciate the help.
Oh, very welcome.
It's very nice of you. Do you want to? Are you a plumber, sir?
Yes, do I'm third generation.
Is there a place people can reach you if they need your help?
I'm in Loves Park, Illinois. I'm not in Chicago. So
by Rockford?
Yes, I am.
I'm sure he'll come and help you, Bill.
All right. Rockford's just a few hours away. I'll see you after in the afternoon, Tom. All right. Thank you, Tom. Stay warm.
I wish you luck.
All right. Thank you very much.
You have water issues and tire issues. Bill, don't forget to let some air out of your tires when it warms up this weekend or they'll be overinflated.
Oh, really?
Most warning systems don't report this like they do when the pressure is too low.
All right. I can do that.
No good deed.
Your tires
are going to pop. They won't.
I don't think I put enough air in for that to happen. You know, I just put enough in all four of the tires to get it up to where, what did I say? It was 36.
Yeah.
Right? So
don't make me remember your PSI.
I'm surprised I remember that part of it.
It says it on the inside of your door jam.
Yeah, of what it's supposed to be at. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And someone said, you know, 72 is too warm to set the thermostat, but it never gets to 72 in our house,
right.
I'm telling you. And somebody said there's been some heating and cooling guys on the radio that have said anything below 10 degrees below zero, furnaces aren't designed to keep up, at least not in the Midwest.
Oh, great. That's encouraging. Yikes.
It's still, you know, it's freezing in our house. We were dressing in layers in our house, and I have a heating / fireplace element that is in our fireplace.
What does that mean?
It means that our fireplace is unusable at this point.
Oh.
So I bought an insert that you plug in, and it looks like a fake flame, and there's actual heat coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they made such
a thing. It's like $110.
Oh.
And I plugged it in, and I always worry about space heaters catching on fire, but it's in the firebox. So if it catches on fire, that's the best place to have
it
happen.
Right.
So we had that going last night, and it was super cold. But then when I went outside to let the dog out for a minute, I stayed and watched him to make sure a coyote didn't get him and to get him back in. Then you come back in the house and all of a sudden you're like, it's really warm in here, even though it isn't. And God, I just feel for the people who are homeless, who have lost power in McHenry. I can't imagine that. I saw two guys walking this morning and it just looked like they had icicles on their face. And
did you offer to give them a ride?
That's what you asked me, and I did not.
Oh, no.
I was going the opposite direction.
Oh.
I feel terrible now.
I would have been tempted,
but you wouldn't have done it.
No, I think depending on
you're going, they're going the opposite way.
If they were going the same way as you, you would have stopped.
Well, I wouldn't have seen that they had icicles on their face.
Okay, that's true. That's true. I had my attire. Now I never wear. I wear a baseball cap, but I don't wear scarves normally. I had a scarf on. I had this. I'm holding up a face mask where only your eyes are exposed.
What do you
I had
think
glasses
you're a superhero?
On. No, but I did, on the good side, I knocked over two Starbucks on the way in, so I made over $300 this morning already.
Don't joke about
that. It's pretty good. My wife kept saying to me, you can't have an inch of skin exposed is dangerous. You could lose something, you know?
I did have a half an inch exposed this morning. I have two layers on. I have leggings on under my jeans. I have three tops on and a sweatshirt.
Yes.
I have a hat on, which I never wear.
You are you look like if I saw you from a distance, I would say, oh, look, Bono is on the show today. You look very much like Bono.
Well, I wasn't going to chance it, but I have snow boots on, but they only come up sort of to my ankle, and I'm wearing shark bite jeans.
Oh.
So they're like ankle length.
Right.
So there's like an inch of my ankle that was exposed.
That's all it takes. You're lucky you still have that inch of ankle. You're very fortunate.
I know. All right, Marion Ross is coming up on the show.
She'll warm you up. TV's Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days.
I can't wait.
Have you ever talked to her? I've never talked to her.
I don't think so.
This will be fun.
Not on the radio, anyway.
This will be a lot of fun. I bet she has Chachi stories that'll keep us warm.
No one has Chachi stories. Hazy Shade of Winter?
Hazy Shade of Winter, Wendy. The original version. Do you remember who covered it after Simon and Garfunkel?
The Bangles.
Well done. Jasmine, any prizes? We have any prizes for Wendy? Nothing?
Gift certificate.
Gift certificate, Wendy.
Pocket warmers.
Yes.
Yeah, pocket warmers.
Yep, yep. Remember whenever there was extreme weather? Now, I'm going back to when Johnny Carson hosted The Tonight Show. He always had a joke where he'd go, "It's so cold." And the crowd would go, "How cold is it?" And Johnny would have this snappy retort as to how cold it was. Or sometimes it was, "It's so hot in Los Angeles." And then they would do the same
thing. How hot is it?
It's been so rainy, right? All right. So I looked up on internet because I thought to myself, at some point, people are going to need something to get them through this cold weather. I found what they call the best "It's so cold" jokes of the year. I've read through them. In my opinion, there's not a single one that's funny. You tell me.
Do you want ambiance or do you want it just dry?
I want to go home because these jokes, wait till you hear these. Now, they call, according to the internet, these are the best of the "It's So Cold" jokes.
Yeah, I don't believe the internet.
It's so cold out, Wendy, that the rock that's rattling around in your shoe is your toe. Is that funny? No. I don't think that's sad. That means somebody lost a digit.
It was frostbite,
yep,
baby.
Yep.
Get down to single digits if you lose one.
Single digits.
Oh, now that's
funnier
is
than
funny.
Any of these, Steve, than any one of these. This one's timely. It's so cold that Richard Simmons is wearing shorts that come nearly halfway up to his knee. Why is that funny?
That
and Richard
even,
Simmons isn't even in the news anymore.
It's that so, doesn't even make sense.
That doesn't make sense. That
because he always wore short shorts.
Yeah,
right.
Still,
I don't get
that's a stretch.
That's a stretch. It's so cold that lawyers have their hands in their own pockets.
Huh.
That one's close, right?
Not for lawyers.
Of the ones, no, no. It's so cold out that you have to open your refrigerator to heat your house.
That's true.
Yeah, that's more true than it is funny. It's so cold out that your teeth, your false teeth are chattering and they are still in the glass. You like that one? Seriously?
That's good.
You did?
Yeah. Well,
all right. Hold on. I'll put an asterisk by that one in case they ask me to be on the
Make
Tonight.
Me laugh.
Make me laugh.
The new
with
version.
The late Bobby Van.
That was funny.
It's so cold. Oh, this one's borderline, Wendy. If you like the false teeth one, I think you may enjoy this one a lot. It's so cold that police are telling robbers to freeze, and they are.
No, I don't like
that's
it.
Horrible. That one hurts my senses. Now, this one is technically impossible. Actually, they all are, but this one especially. It's so cold out that the words we say freeze in midair, and we had to put them in a frying pan to thaw them out so we could hear what we were saying.
Okay, that is just
that's
stupid.
Wordy. That's just too wordy.
And not funny no. at all.
But wait, that's a cartoon. You'd see that in a cartoon.
Right.
Well, visualizing it.
Then, yeah. Right.
That would be funny to see it, but to...
Which cartoon would probably do that, Steve, do you think?
I don't know them well enough.
Andy Capp.
Really?
Yeah. I can see that happening on Andy Capp. Or maybe Beetle Bailey.
I'm thinking Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy, maybe. Yeah. It is so cold outside right now that people are looking forward to getting a fever.
I'm not giving that anything.
That's sad. It's so cold out that mailmen... Now, there's a disclaimer because the mail service has been canceled, yeah. So I'm not even going to read that one.
No, now I got to know.
You sure?
Yeah.
And it's historically inaccurate.
Well, also male men, they're not called that anymore.
Male people. Male persons.
Male carriers.
Male carriers.
Good golly.
Male people carriers.
No, just male carriers.
How many people could a male people carrier carry?
It's so cold out, Wendy, that mail carriers have to watch out for dogs and polar bears.
That is ridiculous.
That's horrible. It is. Oh, you're going to be offended by this one.
Can't wait.
It's so cold out that we had to chisel our dog off a lamppost.
Again, not funny.
That's awful. It's so cold out that pet stores are now selling hamsters, gerbils, and penguins.
Bill, these are terrible.
Here's the title on it, The Best It's So Cold Jokes of the Year. I want to hear the worst ones.
Yeah.
These are the best ones.
Do you have any about like hot flashes? Because last night I said to my kids, now when I'm having a hot flash, it's so cold out, I don't even want to stick my head out the window.
All right, what Mary just said, funnier than every one of these put together. Every single one of these.
And this isn't funny, but it's true. When I went out to pick up after the dog, I'm glad it was warm because my hands were so cold. It's not a joke. It's for reals.
This one sounds like one that Johnny Carson would have said If Johnny Carson was in a universe where he wasn't supposed to be funny.
Can you do it as Johnny Carson?
It's so cold out that the Statue of Liberty put the torch inside her dress.
That's good. And that's Johnny Carson.
That's kind of close, right? It is so cold outside right now that roosters are rushing into KFC restaurants and begging to use their pressure cookers.
That's sad.
That's
and
awful.
Sickening.
Every one of these. It is so cold out that I chipped my tooth on some soup.
I
don't think so.
Can Vic jump in? He has a joke.
Yep.
Because I like jokes, and really, what's there to do? No one's working today. Let's just have fun. Vic, what do you have for us?
It's so cold out, I saw a chicken walking with a cape on.
I think I'm laughing, Vic, that you dialed the phone to tell us that. That's the part that's making me laugh the most.
I'm glad.
Thank you, Vic.
Jeez.
It is so cold outside that Dunkin' Donuts is now serving coffee on a stick. Nope.
That's all right.
If you're keeping score, we're 1 for 13. And even the one...
The dentures joke was the funniest.
You enjoyed that one
the
most.
And it's stupid.
all right, this one's kind of funny. It is so cold out that I saw an Amish man buying an electric blanket. No? Circle will not get the square on that one.
Sort of. I don't know.
It is so cold out that I am now drinking hot sauce instead of coffee. No. Ice cubes are coming out of my faucet.
You wish.
That would be an upgrade. it is so cold outside right now that trees are chopping themselves into firewood. No.
That's kind of stupidly funny.
It is so cold out right now that cops are tasing themselves.
That's
unacceptable. This is Mary's joke. This is a condensed version of Mary's joke. It is so cold out right now that I'm thankful I'm having hot flashes. That's
yay.
That's that's like a quickened version of Mary's joke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except it's so cold that you don't want to stick your head out. Even a hot flash is not hot enough.
And with hot flashes, just my head got hot. I don't have them anymore, thank God. But just my head got hot.
No. I have them all over.
Whole body
lucky.
Flashes. Yeah,
not
lucky.
Really.
It is so... Now, this... Why did they pick...
I can't wait to hear it now.
I'm questioning every part of this one. It is so cold out that Miley Cyrus had to put her clothes back on.
Written by a dirty old grandpa.
Why would you go with Miley Cyrus on
that? Because she likes to not have clothes on.
All right.
She wears skimpy stuff. Jim has a joke.
All right.
I love the listener jokes. Jim, what do you have?
Hi, guys, from Balmy South Bend. It's so cold that I saw two politicians with their hands in their own pockets.
Now, that's all. We have covered similar material on that one, but very funny. Nicely done.
Okay. All right. We'll
Thank
see
you.
Ya. Thanks.
All right.
You can that substitute like attorney. Second, I like the politician
it's the
better.
Same, yeah, politician makes more sense. It is so cold out right now that I saw a Greyhound bus and the dog was riding on the inside.
I like that one.
That one's all right?
That's pretty funny.
And there's one more. If you're just joining us,
that's it?
These are the funny... It says these are the best of the It's So Cold jokes. It is so cold out that the ice cubes in my drink have goosebumps. I know! There's 20 of these, and only one or two of them are even remotely amusing.
I bet these are
the best.
That's a stretch, man. I bet listeners have funnier ones.
Everyone has funnier ones.
312-981-7200. We are going to play Make Me Laugh.
Yes. It's all we can do on a day like today.
You
Stick
got
around.
Gary Mule Deer on the phone?
Ready to roll. Gary Mule Deer is ready to roll. All right. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, you and I have the kindest listeners. Many people on the text lines thanking us for those jokes that we just read. I'll be the first to admit they were awful at best. Every one of them.
All right, well, some good texts. It's so cold, the geese have human bumps. This might be
That's
my favorite.
A little better.
It's so cold out, I'm going to change my name to Raymond Burr.
All right. That's fine. Did you see this woman who got kicked off of a flight? A flight started in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was scheduled to land in Newark, New Jersey. She got kicked off the flight because she was fat-shaming the people on either side of her. They put her in a middle seat. She's a woman of average build. She was a little crunched into the seat. And I got to be honest, the way the airlines operate, there's not a whole lot of room, and the middle seat is never the most pleasant place to be under any circumstances.
But that's the airline's fault, not the person sitting in the seat.
Agreed. Agreed. But she took it upon herself to comment as loudly as she could, both to other passengers, and she kept making telephone calls, explaining to anybody who would listen that there were two oversized people. And I got to be honest, I've seen the people that were on either side of her. They're not gigantic people. They're just, you know, they're slightly bigger people, but they're not circus people, you know?
But even if haven't you sat on a plane next to someone who's not even overweight, they're just big, like 6'8", and they take up the whole seat.
They take up a little extra space.
There's not a lot of room for a thin person, let alone someone who's, you know, a little overweight.
Right.
Shame on this woman.
Yes. Agreed. A woman sitting in the center seat of United Airlines flight from Las Vegas to Newark, New Jersey. Did you notice that a lot of these stories that have incidents on them start in Las Vegas? Three of the last four stories that you and I have talked about, they start from Las Vegas. I don't know why.
A lot of drinking.
I wonder if that plays into it. Does it? Does it play into it a little bit?
I don't know. I shouldn't say that either.
They reportedly removed a woman who was fat-shaming the passengers who were seated next to her. The incident happened before takeoff on New Year's Day. A video of what occurred was recorded by Norma Rogers, an oncology nurse who was seated next to the fat shamer. It went viral in recent days. The unidentified passenger in the center seat was talking on her cell phone, complaining that she was stuck between Rogers and her traveling companion. Rogers then asked the flight attendant to find the woman another seat, adding that she would, and I quote, not be verbally abused by this B-word or anybody else. The woman is unrelenting. She's just constantly, she's turning to other passengers saying, can you believe, look at this. I have no room at all because of this guy and this woman.
Can I tell you, I never have any room. And that's what, I mean, even.
That's the middle seat. There's nothing you can do.
I hate the window seat even more.
Why do you hate the window
seat? Because I feel claustrophobic.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You get to
look
at the clouds, though. You get to see the soft clouds.
You don't like that at all? It doesn't calm me down. But, you know,
soothing.
We are paying to fly somewhere, which amazes you and me.
It's a miracle.
It is. And it's never, you're not paying for comfort. You're really not.
There, I am never, ever, ever in an airplane where the word miracle is not in my head. I just go, We're flying. We're going from one city to another in a couple of hours. It used to take people days and days and days. And it's going to be uncomfortable for most of the trip.
Right.
But it's miraculous.
I mean, even a bus or a train, these seats aren't made to, you know, unless you're in first class.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fly Southwest pretty much all the time, so there is no first class.
Right.
I mean, suck it up and shut up.
The flight attendant offered the woman another seat. Which is very nice of her, by the way.
The flight attendant offered her another seat. She didn't have to.
Right. The flight attendant offered the woman another seat, and as the woman stood up to change seats, she announced, I eat salad. Now, I watched the video, and she mentions that a couple of times as kind of a dig towards the other people,
as if to say... Like, I eat healthy.
Right.
I'm not fat. That's what she was saying.
That was her polite way of saying, you know, if you would eat healthier, we'd all be traveling better. But that didn't work.
That's not even true.
Other passengers, including Jonathan Fernandez of the VH1 reality show Love and Hip Hop New York.
You're a big fan of that, aren't you?
It just goes to prove my theory. No matter where you go, someone in your group is in a reality show at this point. There just happened to be a person nearby who was on the reality show Love and Hip Hop New York. Said that the woman was disgusting. Everybody was upset, obviously, with the woman complaining. The lady who eats salads, they were upset with her, obviously.
Well, she's just rude. I'm so sick of people being rude.
But she thought, like in her head, she thought, there's going to be people on my side just by loudly announcing that her situation was uncomfortable. She thought everybody would be like, yeah, look at what a horrible place you're in. But that did just the opposite worked, you know?
Good. Gives me hope.
Here's what the woman said. This is the salad lady talking again. She said this to Jonathan Fernandez. You know him from the hit series Love and Hip Hop New York, Wendy.
I do know him from the VH1 reality show.
She said to him, why don't you sit between those two big pigs? Oh, that's going to win over everybody.
What, she read Leo Biscaglia's book?
Yes. Yes. United then removed the woman from the flight it took off. This was all before the plane even took off. She's doing this as they're still at the airport at McCarran.
Rude.
They haven't even left yet, and she's pulling this. United removed the woman from the flight before it took off and said in a statement that it provided her with alternate travel arrangements first thing the next morning.
I wouldn't have given her anything.
Right.
That's just rude.
Right. Right, 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 right.
I don't like mean people, but I do like a funny joke, and a listener has another cold joke. It's so cold. Tim, what's going on?
Well, I tell you, Bill and Wendy, today it was so cold, a flasher came up to me on the street and described himself.
All right, that's really funny.
That's a good one.
That's excellent. Thanks, Tim.
Craig has a joke. Hi, Craig. What's going on?
Not much. It's very cold. It's so cold. I am crying icicles instead of tears.
Wendy?
Get ready for the drum roll. Bup, bup, bum, whatever that is.
I can't give it to you. Sorry, Craig.
It's too cold for a drum roll, Wendy.
Craig, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling. How about this text one? It's so cold. Oh, wait. I got to do the delivery justice. It is so cold out, I saw a hitchhiker holding a picture of his thumb.
All right. I guess.
You're tougher than I am. All right.
He's holding a picture, his hands are out of his pocket.
Right.
He's got gloves on.
Well, then you could do that with you could thumb with your gloves on. I mean, unless you said he was wearing, go further
I'll
to say he's wearing
mittens. Just pick it apart. You're a joke shamer.
See. you have to, when listening to any joke, you have to let all reality just kind of dissipate, you know? You have to just give in to the reality of the joke, don't you?
Yes.
It's the only way.
All right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And who's coming up at 11:30?
Well, we have two guests coming up, Dane Neal and Marion Ross. One of them played Mrs. C on Happy Days, and I can't remember which, but they'll both be on the show later on. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm Mario, the plumber. You have pipe problems.
Is he a plumber?
Yes.
Are
you kidding? You don't know Mario?
The Mario Brothers
are
plumbers. Really by trade, Dane.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what they do for a living.
I didn't know if they dabbled in all areas of home improvement.
A little bit.
Guys, they walk
is their
through
specialty.
Pipes
right.
with mushrooms.
Right.
Maybe there's a mushroom in your pipe. Are you just happy to see us?
Oh, no.
I have too much energy today.
Dane Neal is here. You know Dane is the host of On the Road with Dane Neal, which is heard Saturdays from 2 to 4 right here on WGN Radio, Dane.
I won't be alone this week. Daryl Waltrip's going to be riding shotgun.
Love Daryl Waltrip.
Yeah.
Race car legend.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Well, it's that time. So we're talking a little Super Bowl. He's excited about that, too. And then, of course, preview the Daytona 500.
Wow.
How's his brother Michael Waltrip doing?
He's bigger. He's unexplainably larger than Daryl, but he's funny and wacky, and you know, he won't be, I don't know if he'll be on with, but
love those guys.
He's great.
The reason we were playing the Mario Brothers theme is you believe you can help me with my pipe problem at home. For people who weren't listening earlier, hot water, not a problem. Have plenty of hot water. If you need some, stop by my house.
Yeah.
But cold water is in very short supply.
If you know me, you know I'm a glasses half full, frozen or otherwise, right?
Yes.
So this is one of those things where this has happened to me, so I can't necessarily help on the fixing it, but I can help on the potentially more positive outcome side. This happened last year. We had a problem with the furnace and everything got really cold, and in one of the bathrooms, where the hot water worked, and the cold water didn't, which means that the cold water pipe is frozen. But it doesn't automatically necessarily mean that it's broken or going to burst or anything like that.
A plumber earlier suggested that we find the coldest part of the pipe, the exposed pipe downstairs in our basement.
Didn't that sound hard? When he said that, you're like, I'm done right there.
Well, just look up. It's just if you don't
have... You can tell by looking at it? Or do you have to feel it, don't you?
Well, I mean, you can tell what the plumbing pipes are.
Oh, yeah. I know which those are.
Okay.
If I know it, anyone knows.
Is it copper or PVC?
Yep. Oh. Yep, it is. So I have to put a hair dryer on it to thaw it out.
Well,
does that sound right?
If you can warm it anyway, even if you can, now that would be like your kind of, that's the equivalent of the needle into the chest in Pulp Fiction kind of thing.
Oh,
like
really?
Something immediate. But even if you have a space heat, like if you've got a crawl space or a basement, you could put a space heater down there to kind of heat things up. I'm not sure exactly if the pipes you know, outside, mm-hmm. you know, then I think you're maybe in some more trouble. But it could just, and we're going to have a big warm-up. I think it's going to be 45 or right. something this weekend, is that hopefully it just doesn't, like, freeze to the point where it expands enough to break. So even if you have the faucet open, maybe it gives enough air for it to expand. You know how, like, you put a beer in the freezer?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it expands and it pops. Right off
And you
the
forget
top.
About it.
Right, right. But if it was open, like, let's say the beer was open, it would just kind of overflow. So hopefully it'll just
All right,
so kind of dissipate
pour
there.
Beer on the pipe.
No.
If it was like a week long, I think you'd have to be more worried because it would just solidify more.
But this
and
is just going to be two brutal days and then back hope, to normal.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah so All it's right. not automatically the end of the world. It certainly could
All right, that's good news.
And
that's
they also, for your exposed pipe, because we have an unfinished roof of our basement, they make these little pipe covers, basically. Yes. It's not styrofoam, but it's kind of foamish,
yeah.
and you just like a pool noodle almost.
It's yeah. exactly like a pool noodle.
And All you right. put you could probably use a pool noodle. Right. I might do it. A very colorful
I'll
down there.
Pick some up. I'll go to American Sale on my way home and get a pool noodle.
Teal or purple. Those are the hot colors.
Those are the best ones. Yes, teal yes. and purple. All right. Let's talk about Super Bowl food, if that's okay with you,
yeah.
Dane. Apparently, the big game is coming up on Sunday. That's what I'm hearing.
The big game is coming up. And the game part of it, and it's good that you approach it that way, Bill, because the game is often secondary. Because
sure.
how often is it that it's your team or your favorite team that's in the game? And even if you don't care about football,
mm-hmm.
people still care about Super Bowl Sunday. It's an official holiday, and I'll venture to guess that it's more of a food holiday even than maybe a sports holiday. So people get together and do that stuff, and they have foods that they like and that they enjoy. What would you guys think are those kind of top in that team photo of typical things that people say we're going to get some food for the
wings
party? That's in there. Yep,
chili.
It's got to be.
Yes, you guys already know this stuff.
No, it's just all these parties we go to. A sub sandwich.
Okay, the sub sandwich is in there too. And on the appetizer side, you say like
calamari.
Queso dip or
yes.
taco dip.
Yeah.
Chips, dip, guacamole. And this was a surprising one. I love them, but deviled eggs.
Oh, no.
That is my go-to thing.
Really?
I make them and put capers on the top of them along with paprika. Very good.
Yeah.
Could you mold them to look like footballs? Is that more? Does that make them
they
better?
They already do.
They do kind of look like footballs?
That's where life kind of just works out.
Oh,
wow,
all right.
That's
yeah.
genius.
That's why people like them.
So those are some of the things. And in the next segment, we're going to talk with Beth Peterson about some different things that you can do to kind of jazz it up, even on the cocktail side or some of the Super Bowl snack side to make your party even better. But some of the other accoutrements that you've got is that snack stadium. People want to make those. You know, you want to stack stuff and sandwiches.
And make it look like a ballpark.
Like a stadium.
Yes.
Right. You want to make it look like a stadium. And containing all of those things. Sunny Anderson, our good friend from the Kitchen Over and Food Network, she invented this. And I always say, you know, without people like Thomas Edison and Sunny Anderson, you wouldn't have these major advancements in life. And so she created the Infladium. And so it's a thing you just blow it up. You can wash it, rinse it off, blow it up. It's in stadium size. It's got pockets. So you can fit all the stuff in there. So
where do you get something like this?
You get it at Party City, Bill. And you know
Party
what?
City
really?
Yeah. Even if they're out. She just texted me this morning. Even if they're out, they will overnight it to you.
Oh, wow.
From Party City. It's like $19. And it's something.
That's that, it?
Yep. Yep. And it looks great. It looks like a stadium. And then you just stack all your stuff in it. You know,
right.
You pour your chips and
that's
your
cute.
Dips and stuff like
that's
that.
That's adorable. Isn't the key to making this work having food readily available all through the game, like start to finish, at halftime? You want the food to be nonstop, right? You don't want to just serve it at a specific part in the
Food's
game.
Food's gone and the party's gone.
That's it.
And everybody feels like they need to leave and you'll never get them back.
Right.
It's like, hey, we're going to make a beer run. You know what? They're not coming back.
They're done.
You're not, especially if it's, you know, Tom Brady again in the Super Bowl. If you find yourself
yes.
at the Super Bowl stadium, and this is the NFL and the Super Bowl is kind of an aspirational experience. You know, it's mm-hmm. the kind of thing maybe a whole bucket list to go to once if your
sure.
team gets there. The tickets, they say, you know, $700, $1,000. Get this. So Mercedes-Benz Stadium, if you've seen any of the features on it, this thing is like state-of-the-art. This is like exactly what you would have wanted to
Here.
Have. Right, it's Soldier
where Soldier Field,
Field
is.
We'll yeah. never host a Super Bowl because it, you know,
too cold.
The specs. No, it doesn't hold enough people.
Not a good team.
No, the teams.
The teams don't
I
matter.
Yeah, I know. And we do have a better team.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, in a place Atlanta's never going to have a good team. So, but they do have a great stadium. Now, listen to this. So they. And the stadium food side, we've talked over the years about festivals and music festivals,
sure.
how the food game is elevated and gotten just better, right?
Yeah.
Where it isn't just hot dogs, burgers, you know, nachos.
Yeah.
So if you're at that stadium, you can get anywhere through the place, $2 hot dogs, pretzels, popcorn, $3 pizza slices.
Oh, my God.
And nachos and $5 cheeseburgers and draft beers at this place. Now, in the land of where over, let's say, at some of the, you know, major sports venues, it's like $11 for a beer, especially
easily.
If you want to craft
yeah.
one. So they've got Fox Brothers Barbecue. This is one of the best barbecue places in the country. They've got a restaurant there. to go. And then you've also got 1,200 beer taps holding 47 kinds of beers. Get this, $5 domestic and craft beers.
Wow.
At the Super Bowl.
That's amazing. That is so reasonable.
Yep.
Huh.
How come?
Yeah, what's going on? What's causing this?
I don't know if it's... I know that companies like Levy or some of these different companies that handle a bunch of places, they've done what they can to try to tailor the food choices. So you got some burn-ins, a lot of barbecue, some poutine. Even, of course, that's French, but still, you've got a little heavier food, you know, on the south side, the southern side of the country, as opposed to maybe healthier choices out on the West Coast. But I think you... I don't know. It's the Super Bowl. I would... Let's have a conference call with them, Bill, and just jack the prices up, because I think they're missing out. The people at this game could afford to pay
more. They're paying hundreds or thousands of dollars for tickets. A couple of extra dollars for a beer wouldn't matter to them, you wouldn't think.
But I love to see this. I love to see that, you know, there's a little bit of consideration on it. And I think maybe it's just what the market will bear. I guess the local area, that's just like the going rate. And so we're overpriced here in Chicago.
Right, a little bit. Dane Neal is here. We're talking food specifically for the Super Bowl, which is coming up on Sunday. Stick around, more of this in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. In a little while, 11:35, Marion Ross from Happy Days.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Mrs. C. She's Mrs. C. Dane Neal is here. We're talking about special foods for a special day, the Super Bowl. And you have a special guest.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. You want an expert in. If you want to talk Happy Days, Marion Ross, that's your person.
Right, right, right.
You want to talk tailgates, the person that we've got on the line is the one that that you want. She's a MasterChef alum, Cutthroat Kitchen on Food Network, World Recipe Champ, and author of the Tailgate Cookbook. It's Beth Peterson, going to help us with some Super Bowl foods. Beth, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
How are you doing?
Freezing.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. This is my time of year.
Excellent. This is perfect. What's your favorite food to give somebody to prepare and say to somebody, it's the Super Bowl, live it up, here, try some of this. What would that food be?
Oh, I think I'm going to go back to the deviled eggs. The deviled eggs are like such a fan favorite. And in the book, I have a whole section on deviled eggs. Because
I
love them.
I do too. They're great.
Well, they're
so
great.
Much fun, and they're like the first thing to go. Like you put them out, and like they're gone.
Hmm.
They're really fun.
Well, they're great. Just like, you know, I think on paper as you draw them up, just the basic deviled egg is pretty good. But what is it? Because I know that you've got a lot of cool spins and takes on some of these things that are standard favorites, but you've kind of elevated them.
Yeah, so I've got the classic deviled egg, you know, the paprika, the smoked paprika on top, and you know, sliced the classic way. And then as you dig deeper into the chapter, there's like, you know, a chipotle deviled egg. There's a jalapeno deviled egg. Mm. There's my favorite, which is the deviled bacon.
Mm.
So good. There's actually a little bit of brown sugar in the mix, which kind of sounds a little bit weird, but it's super delicious. Because you know how, like, sometimes you get the deviled egg, it's got a little bit of pickle relish in there?
Yeah.
So this kind of, like, has a little bit of that flavor to it, but then they get, like, the crispy bacon. There's, like, a bacon sail on top of it. It's so good. So there's a lot of really good, fun ideas for deviled eggs in there. And I think people appreciate sort of a different take on it. It's kind of fun.
On the dip side, dips are one of those things in the category, but you know, they can come in all shapes and sizes. And on the chip side, you know, there's a lot of different chips that you could use. What do you recommend, or something cool on the dip side, as opposed to just, you know, easy cheese and
onion dip?
French onion dip.
All right, so this one is so killer, and I mean, you have to be a blue cheese fan to like this one. Kind of, it has blue cheese in it, and it is a blue cheese dip, but like it's creamier, and it's so delicious. I think even like a blue cheese, like kind of I'm just okay with blue cheese, would really, really like this, because it's not super intense blue cheese. But it's called the Ridiculously Addictive, let me get it right, Ridiculously Addictive Blue Cheese Kettle Chips. So it's super easy, too. It's like takes 5 minutes on the stove to make the cheese sauce. And again, there's bacon involved in the situation, but it's basically kettle chips. It's cool. It's great to bring somewhere because you bring a bag of kettle chips with you, a plate, and if you can do the sauce at home and put it like in a small like thermos or in a small crock pot, you bring that and then you drizzle it over the top of the chips right before you serve it, and then sprinkle it with bacon and green onions, like, you know, diced green onions. It kills every time. That I mean, another good one that it's gone in like moments.
Beth, yeah, isn't really one of the keys to this, I always call it grazing food. That's your smaller foods that are easy to pick up and easy to transport and move around, as opposed to a bigger, thicker food. That's kind of one of the keys to this, right, is the size?
Totally. It's a portable feast situation. You really want, you want whatever you're bringing to a Super Bowl party or even like hosting at your home. You want these to be small, you know, bite-sized things, so people can sample lots of different things. I think that's part of the fun, right, is getting a chance to try lots of different flavors and different things. So yep. I definitely, like, you know, like I do a chili bar, and the chili bar actually, the instead of bowls, well, I'll do little bowls, like small bowls that I'll get at, like, Party City or something like that. Or I do these little buns that I get at Costco that I carve the inside out of. Not like the big giant bread bowls, because that's like a huge commitment, right? It's just these little teeny rolls that you carve the inside out, and then people can have just like a little bit of chili.
Oh,
and then
they can have that.
Yeah, they can have a little bit of the deviled eggs. They can have, you know, like a little bit of everything. Beth, and in the end, they get to try a bunch of stuff.
In honor of Tom Brady, would you recommend deflated bowls? Would that be a good way to go on Sunday?
That's kind of what I'm doing, right?
Yeah,
I'm taking
it's better.
Them inside out, right?
Just old, but they still look kind of good, but
right.
They've got to be dead and
they
stale inside.
Be,
you
sure.
know that. So,
that's
Beth,
right.
When it comes to like the drinks and the cocktails, it's an essential. You got to be, you know, have, you know, some of the, you get imbibe a little bit, right? And so some of my friends
right.
may bring a black garbage bag filled with loose natural light cans and Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever. But you have some ways to have people kind of enjoy the cocktail side and some of that fix, but do it in some really, really cool ways.
Well, okay, so Dane, you know I am a huge fan of the Bloody Mary and having a lot of fun with the Bloody Mary. And a signature cocktail in general, I think, is a fun way to bring people together at any party because everybody gets a chance to try that first when they walk in. You're like, you know, I've got this great cocktail. But I think a stunner at a party is to host a Bloody Mary bar, to set up a gorgeous Bloody Mary bar with all the fixins and to have fun with, you know, the actual spirit. So doing a Bloody Maria, doing like a really smoky Bloody Mary with, you know, and doing tequila instead of vodka. I go to this really fun fundraiser that they actually support lots of different charities, but it's all Bloody Marys, and they do, it's just so much fun. So you can sort of replicate something like that for a Super Bowl party. And one of my specialties, it's actually not a cocktail, but it mocks a Bloody Mary, is the Bloody Mary Jello shot, which is so fun. It's in a Campari tomato, and, you know, you use Bloody Mary mix and vodka, and you do, you know, put it in a Bloody Mary, in a Campari tomato, dust it with a little bit of celery salt and some red pepper, some crushed red pepper. And they're super cute, and they're delicious.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right, people are confused about this blue cheese dip. We don't have a ton of time, so what do we need to know for that?
Like, what are the ingredients for it?
Yeah.
So it's blue cheese. It is cream cheese, blue cheese, heavy cream. There's salt, pepper. I think I throw a little bit of nutmeg in there, if I'm remembering the recipe correctly. And you just kind of melt that up in a pot. And then, like I said, you put it in something to keep it warm. And then you drizzle it over the kettle chips.
Blue cheese kettle chips. I found it online. So can we post it? It's also in the Tailgate Cookbook.
Absolutely. Yes,
nice.
For sure.
Beth, I've heard some ambitious hosts or hostesses will take whatever the cities are that are in the Super Bowl and have foods that are reflective of those cities. Like New England, you would think clam chowder or lobster rolls. Los Angeles, mudslides, I guess. So is that something that you're a fan of? Do you like doing that sort of thing?
Jeez.
You know what? So great that you would ask that. I actually, one of the reasons that I wrote this book is because I was a spokesperson for ESPN Game Day. For 2 years, I traveled around the country to all of the ESPN game days as a tailgate spokesperson for Sam's Club and Coke Zero. And so what I learned was the regionality of tailgate is awesome. It's amazing. So I absolutely do that. And in the back of the book, I go specifically to, you know, all the different regions of the country and post recipes for, or have recipes from chefs in that area, friends of mine that are tailgate chefs in that area, or recipes that I've come up with on my own. And like for the East Coast, I've got the Philly cheesesteak sliders. For the Midwest, we've got our bacon cheeseburger tater tot shepherd's pie.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that sounds good.
Right? And, of course, I've got a slow cooker Chicago Italian beef sandwich in there. I've got to have that.
Sure.
And one of the cool places that I went to was North Dakota State, and they had a Norwegian soup that was, like, served at every tailgate there, and that's in the book. Like in the Northwest, there's a brown bag salmon, which is actually something I had at one of the tailgates. And, you know, in the South, there's a hot muffaletta dip. Yeah, so there's some great
something
recipes
for everybody.
In here.
Yeah,
sounds
yeah,
so good.
I think that's really fun to do that.
And Beth, we'll have the links up at WGNRadio.com as well. But, you know, food doesn't define you. Do you have any frozen pipe advice for Bill?
You know what, Bill? A couple days ago, I had water that was spraying on my heating air conditioning unit, and I had to figure out how to turn the water off in my house. So I got you.
Oh, no, it's horrible. It's horrible. Beth, great to talk to you. Thanks so much. I hope you have a great Sunday.
Thanks. You guys have fun.
Thanks, Beth. And it's the
Peterson.
Tailgate Cookbook, 75 Game-Changing Recipes. It's available wherever your
Excellent.
Favorite books are sold.
Dane, thank you for braving the elements and coming out today.
I'm really available at 2 p.m. on Saturday with Daryl Waltrip, and I'll see if Michael joins us as well.
That'll be excellent.
Who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl?
You know what? I was telling Maxwell, and this is the absolute truth. He was saying, like, why is Tom Brady so good? Maybe the other guys are going to win. And I said, he's like a Terminator. You have to kill him all the way dead, like a big fire or a building has to fall on him. So if they can work
Father of the year.
Incredible analogy, Dave. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's Dane Neal from On the Road with Dane Neal, Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to announce our next guest, Mrs. C herself, Marion Ross. Marion, how are you?
Well, darling, I'm fine. It's shocking me to listen to your weather.
I know.
It's terrible here.
But I'm a Minnesota girl, so I know about that. You know, I'm from Albert Lea, Minnesota.
Yes, yes. So you grew up there. You got some pretty cold weather when you were a kid, huh?
Oh, honey, we did. Right, and we would shovel off a place on the lake so we could skate, and we'd walk across the ice, and the ice would boom at your feet, you know?
Yep. But you wouldn't want to be here today, Marion.
No,
any
it's
other
too
day,
cold.
I would say I would love to meet you in person. Not today. It's just too cold.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's so cold, darling.
It is such an honor to talk to you. Wendy and I are huge, huge fans of yours and have been forever. And I got to tell you, one day I was watching, in my opinion, one of the best shows of all time was The Fugitive. And I didn't know you were on an episode of it. And I had an episode on, and there you are. Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Right. Well, I tell you, I really feel that I raised all you children, you know.
Yep.
You totally did.
Yep.
Yeah, because you know how old I am now. Now I have 90. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. You're 90 years old. Wow.
Do you know other people who are 90 years old?
I know a couple people who are 90, but what's the key? Because you're
I don't. You're,
Wendy doesn't know anybody who's 90.
My family dies young. I don't know. Wow.
What's the key to being as sharp? And I mean, you sound
funny.
Like you've got everything going for you at 90. What's the key to that, Marion?
Oh, I keep moving. I sit down very little, you know. And now I have fallen and done some terrible thing to my wrist.
Oh, no.
But other than that, I'm fine. I have one of those little braces on it, you know?
Oh, no. How long will that be on for? Is that for a long time or just for a little bit?
No. Just till we get over it.
All right.
Yeah. Just get over it. Snap out of it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Snap out of it.
It's funny you say you feel like you raised all of us because you certainly did. It was from you that I learned what getting frisky meant.
Mm-hmm.
silly.
Oh. I'm kidding.
And you know, my children are actors. My daughter was a writer on Friends. My daughter, Ellen.
Pretty good show to be on.
Right. And my son does commercials and all kinds of shows and everything. In fact, a commercial that you might have seen him on, he plays George Washington being dragged across the Potomac in his boat, like being dragged across the freeway. He's in his boat. And it's a commercial for Geico, and that's my son playing George Washington.
Marion, can I say something about your son? And I'm sorry, I don't remember his first name, but he is one of the best impressionists I have ever seen.
Oh yes, Jim Meskimen.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. He's very talented.
Yep.
Right.
You should be very proud of them. So was it
well,
tough?
I am.
You were America's mom during the years of Happy Days. You were America's mom. Was there some jealousy from your own kids, or were they fine with that?
Oh no, everybody. No, they all thought it was. You know, it's so funny. While a thing is happening, you're not so aware that you have this, that you're becoming so kind of famous like that. It's only looking back that you realize. You think, wow. Look at that. Yeah. We were very important to the American culture.
Can you solve a mystery? Wendy and I have discussed this several times, and only you can.
Are you going to ask me about Chuck?
Yes. Yes, I am.
About what?
The oldest Cunningham boy, Chuck Cunningham,
yes.
Went upstairs and never came down. Where did Chuck go?
His basketball remained, but he didn't.
No Chuck. No Gavin O'Herlihy. Where is he?
Isn't that heartless? Heartless.
Yeah.
We would make jokes. We'd say, if you see Chuck, just never mind. You know.
I even remember in, I think, the last episode of Happy Days, Howard Cunningham is making a toast and saying how wonderful his family is and how lucky he is to have the two kids he has. No mention of Chuck.
Yeah. Oh, no. None at all. And we were all crying. Right. And, you know, that was our last show. And the very next day, we all got on an airplane and flew to Okinawa, of all places.
Yeah.
Okinawa. And played softball with the U.S. Marines.
Wow.
So, for a woman of my type, I've had a very interesting life, haven't I?
A very interesting life. I do remember seeing you, Marion, at Wrigley Field. You guys played before a Cubs-Dodgers game one time. The cast of Happy Days played, and that was fun to watch.
Right. Well, Livingston loves to come to Chicago. Yeah, that's a heck of a field. You know that?
Wrigley Field is, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, unique.
Bill and I both loved Love American Style. I remember when I was growing up, there was a girl in my class that she said, oh, my mom won't let me watch it. We watched it all the time. Their mom thought it was too dirty, but is that where Happy Days kind of got its start?
Well, it was going to be a pilot on Love American Style. It was a little episode, and they thought, we'll have this episode and we'll use it as a pilot. And that's what they did. They shot it, and Harold Gould was playing the father because Tom Bosley was busy, probably in Chicago. He was from Chicago. So as soon as we could get Tom Bosley, then they made a deal, and they called me. I was in a play. I was doing the play Tennessee Williams Summer and Smoke down at the Globe Theater in San Diego, and they called me and they said, get out of that play because we sold the pilot. Okay.
How exciting. And in the pilot, if I remember, there were only a couple of you in the cast. I know you mentioned Harold Gould was the original Mr. Cunningham, but it was Anson Williams and it was Ron Howard, and that was kind of it from the cast that survived.
That's right. Yeah? That was correct. Yeah.
What do you make
of... Gary Marshall was so wonderful. He was a wonderful man.
He's a nice man, wasn't he? Such a talented writer and director. What do you make of what took place with Henry Winkler? The stories we always hear, Marion, is that Henry was just going to be a secondary character, but that everybody just loved him immediately and they had to make him one of the stars of the show. Is that kind of the way it played out?
That's correct. In fact, he didn't have a leather jacket. He had a little gabardine jacket and went into the bathroom, took his comb out, was going to comb his hair, discovered that he was perfect, put his comb back. You know, he didn't even have any lines. And all of at that moment, he walked off of that show in his pocket.
What do you make of what's become of him lately? He's on the show Barry on HBO, and he's fantastic in it. Are you thrilled for him?
Isn't that one? I'm thrilled for him. You know, in fact, now for the first time, he doesn't play such a sweetheart like that.
Right.
But he is. Have you both met the Fonz?
I have never talked to him. I want to, but I've never had the pleasure. He's a nice man, everybody says, though, huh?
Yeah, well, we have to set it up. We have to have him come.
I would love that.
Okay. And yeah, because he's a wonderful guy.
Now, your book came out, I believe, last April, My Days Happy and Otherwise, and I understand there's a new audiobook version of it, and Henry Winkler reads some chapters along with Donnie Most, Ron Howard. Is that true?
That's true. And in the written version, Gary wrote a chapter, Aaron Moran wrote a chapter.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah, God bless her is right. And in the recordings, I think Gary Marshall's son read Gary's part because he had the same accent.
Oh, really? The same New York accent?
Yes.
Marion, right, Wendy right. And I were lucky enough to have Gary Marshall on several years ago, and he really was one of the warmest, sweetest guys I've ever met, and such a sense of humor. We had him laughing, and he just to make him laugh was like the thrill of a lifetime, you know?
No, he was a wonderful time. I can remember early in the show, he came to me and he said, that line isn't working for you, is it? It's not working, is it? He said, I'll fix it. He takes the same line, turns it inside out. Now, any idiot walking by could make that work, you know? So it was an atmosphere in which we were just children at play. And we had our softball team.
Yep.
That's great.
Nothing but fun there.
And you, raising us, you also helped raise my kids as you were Grandma SquarePants on SpongeBob SquarePants.
I loved that episode
with Grandma's kisses. It was so sweet.
I know. Isn't that nice?
SpongeBob was a little embarrassed to get kissed by his grandma, but then in the end, it's like, I'll take kisses from my grandma whenever.
Oh, nice. Very, very nice. The book is called, by the way, My Days Happy and Otherwise. I want to talk about one of the otherwise for just a second. And I know this is a sad story, but we lost Aaron Moran way too early, just a couple short years ago. What are your thoughts on that, Marion? It was such a tragic loss.
You let Jamie and Helena, oh, my God, I couldn't see. You know, it's like, don't let your children go into show business.
No.
Don't do that. It's not a healthy place. She was the most talented. Here, Morena, he's right out here. My son has come to visit Tina.
Oh, how nice. That's excellent.
Do you think it's different now with being in show business, or still don't let your children do it?
Well, Ron Howard's parents did it.
Yeah.
So you just got to be a very good influence, really, you know?
So how
I think little Aaron Moran's parents thought show business is just great. They came to all our parties. They, you know, that's not good. Not good.
Is it just that the adjustment of real life, if you're a child star, if you're in movies and television as a child, and then you have to kind of acclimate to real life, it's a difficult transition for people, isn't it?
Oh, it's not the ideal place to grow up.
Yeah.
Even though we were all religious people, it's not healthy. It really isn't. So Ron Howard did it, and his parents, boy, they would take him home from a day at work and take him right home.
Yeah.
Make him play football.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. When you are a child star, you don't have a chance to be a kid and be a regular kid anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, I would think even today, growing up, things are pretty swift and sophisticated, aren't they?
So much. Marion, the show's...
You've got to be careful. maybe you should just slow it down a little
bit. Oh, yeah.
Slow it down.
Great advice.
Oh, my son, Jim Meskimen, has just brought me a green drink.
Oh, a little umbrella in it or no?
And it seems to be very green. So I don't know what's in there. Spinach or something.
Oh, kale. Probably I'm sure kale is kale. The new, you know, drink thing.
Very popular.
They're going to keep me going.
Well, it's working. You're 90.
Marion, what's the episode? Is there an episode of Happy Days that is your favorite that, for one reason or another, of all the great episodes, stands out as always being your favorite one?
Well, I always liked the one where I was in the dance contest with the Fonz, and we won. I'm in an evening gown, and the Fonz and I are dancing the tango, and we win the contest. Howard made Howard so mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, that Christmas episode where Fonzie says he's got more important things to do for Christmas, and it turns out he's all
by himself.
And then the Cunninghams invite him to stay with. That made me cry. That was beautiful.
Oh, that's lovely, darling. That's lovely. Yeah.
Such a great episode.
Well,
if you had to do.
It's very nice to be part of Americana culture, right?
Oh, yeah.
It is. Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
If you could have done something differently with your life or your career, what would it be?
I wanted to be a swimmer.
Yeah.
First of all, I wanted to be in the Aquacade, you know?
The Aquacade?
What's the Aquacade?
It was a big show in the summer in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, probably everywhere.
Yeah.
Big Esther Williams kind of, spectacle, dance, swimming. Because I was very strong in the athlete, you know.
And why did you? Why were you not in the Aquacade? What kept you away from it? Because I want you in the Aquacade. If you went in, I want you in.
And then wear one of those satin bathing suits.
Yes.
Like
now we're talking.
Pretty cute.
We could have gotten you in the Tommy Bartlett water show. That
sure.
might have worked.
Okay. Yeah.
It is such a pleasure.
You know,
go ahead.
I grew up in Albert Lea, Minnesota, so my life was, in summertime, we were in the lake. We were like junior lifeguards. We were there. We were in the water every minute of our lives. And then in the winter, when the lake froze over, we were up there skating.
That's so perfect. I'm looking at your IMDb page, Marion, and you're still working, and I love that. At the age of 90, still very, very busy. You're working on a project called Senior Entourage. What is that, and when can we see it?
I wonder.
You're not sure what that is? Maybe they just put it in for fun. Are you not aware of it?
Senior Entourage,
it says, will be coming out in 2019, starring Marion Ross. Okay. But if you tell me you're not in it, I'm not going to see it.
Well, give it a whirl. Let's see what it is.
It says it's you, Ed Asner, and Helen Reddy.
Oh, God. Well, no, we made that at my house. Yeah. I don't know what the heck that's going to be.
They shot at your house.
I don't know. Yes, we shot it here, and we all get in a big open convertible, and we're filming us, and we're, God knows what that's
all right.
Like. So, you know.
We'll let you know.
I love Ed Asner.
Oh, sure.
But he's a tough guy. He's a character. So when he says he wants to be in this scene, I always say, sure, come on over.
We'll make a movie. Marion, an honor and pleasure to talk to you.
So
you have
great.
Two lifelong fans talking to you now, but everybody listening just loves you and will love you forever. And thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you. And I love everybody who's out there in Chicago. I love you all. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day, both of you. Young lady, what is your name?
My name is Wendy.
Wendy. Okay. Thank you, Wendy. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Marion.
So much.
Marion's book, again, is called My Days, Happy and Otherwise. It's available as a printed book and as an audio book, and it's available wherever books about Marion Ross are sold.
She had to ask what my name was because you hogged the whole interview. I love
it's
to
Marion
watch.
Ross.
I know, but I love to watch you do this.
I've got 1,000 questions
I know
for
you
Marion
do,
Ross.
And we're out of time.
Keep her on hold, Jasmine. I have 983 more questions I have not asked Marion Ross.
I wanted her so badly to tell you to sit on it, but she was in such a good mood. I felt bad saying
that. Would have been the ultimate compliment. To be told to sit on it by Mrs. C herself would have been the best. Maybe for my birthday.
All right. We should have her back.
Love her.
We had, not a great connection.
No.
And I wanted to know what the green drink was that her son gave her.
Yeah, that's a little suspect, isn't it? I'm also nervous about this quote-unquote movie that she made with Ed Asner, because something is going on that shouldn't have been going on, and I'm curious about it.
Are you still excited?
Yeah, I'm still. Yeah, we talked to Marion Ross. That's not going to go away anytime soon. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
And then we'll be going to the stream, and after us on the stream at 1 o'clock, Adam Hogue will be live from Radio Row in Hotlanta for Sports Central, and he'll be talking about the big game.
That's from 12 to 1.
No, we're 12 to 1.
We're 12 to 1. He's 1 to 2. And then 2 to 3 is Let's Talk Felt with Dave Schwann.